Didn't Jerry Jones buy the Cowboys for like $50 million or something, and now they're worth like $6 billion?
Yeah.
So that worked out
that
pretty
worked
well,
out
for
well for Jerry.
Worked out pretty well for Jerry. Anyway, we got a Monday nighter tonight. The Ravens are a 4-point favorite at Vegas. To tee that up and look back at the games yesterday, we're joined now by longtime NFLer. Hear him and see him on FS1. He joins us every week during the season. Love having him on. Here is Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Week one, almost in the books. Fun times.
Very fun times. And I thought Matt Stafford looked pretty good last night. The Rams looked pretty good. The Bears are not much of a team. But everyone's trying to decipher the comments of Sean McVay, the head coach, where he said, now with Stafford, you know, there's no play that can go overlooked by us. Like, we can basically do whatever we want. Is that just like an indirect shot at Jared Goff? Is that passive aggressiveness? Is that pumping the tires of his new guy? What do you make of those comments from McVay?
I think it's just keeping it real. And unfortunately, feelings will get hurt when you keep it real. We all have our limits. No matter how great Matthew Stafford is, and he has a much higher ceiling than Jared Goff, despite the lack of playoff success or even appearing in a Super Bowl like Jared Goff. If you keep it real as an evaluator, as an assessment, yeah, you open up the playbook that much more when you have Matthew Stafford there. It's funny, I had a couple of teammates who end up playing in Detroit from 2009 afterwards with Matthew Stafford. And to a teammate, they all said, dude, it's insane how much of an arm cannon he has. And I think it just went unnoticed largely because he was on a bad team every year. And he had weapons in terms of Megatron, but it just didn't add up into overall success. So now you bring him into the program, and you're hearing it again. And then we finally got it on full display last night. Like, literally, he bootlegs, and he rolls out, throws across his body as he has perfect footwork to change his body position, which all just threw off the defense. Because even when you're defending 50 yards down the field, you're starting to think there's no way either, A, he's going to throw it here, B, he can get the ball here, or C, he's not even looking this way. And all of that occurred in a split second. He could get it there. He got it there fast on top of the receiver in Jefferson. And he did it by throwing it almost cross-body. Unreal. So, yeah, I know what McVay is basically saying. Don't read into this, Jared Goff. I'm just telling you like it is. This dude's better at this position for our team going forward.
Marcellus, we've been talking earlier in the show about the overreaction that happens on, you know, the Monday after the first weekend. Is there one situation that you would maybe pay close attention to and say, okay, that's, we're not going to overreact here, but there might be something developing here that might be on the negative, whether it be Aaron Rodgers' performance in Green Bay, Buffalo? Is there anything that kind of caught your eye, say, maybe watch that?
Yeah, it's funny. Two parts. One, I love overreactions. And I give it to you like this. I know a lot of people caution. It's only 1 week. I'm like, yeah, but I just went to the beach this weekend. My son took some surfing lessons at this surf party. So it's funny, if you ever go to the beach, you're standing there and a huge wave hits you. Wow. And then the next wave after that, once you recover, is a small wave. You know what? No one cares about your reaction, your overreaction, your underreaction. That last wave was huge. This one, not so much. I look at it just like that when I assess football. Week one, damn, the Giants look horrible. Like, horrible. Now, next week, they could look good. It could be a small wave. But this wave, this week, the Giants are in trouble, brother. They got smashed. The bottom for that team, I'm talking about the floor of that team, is going to fall out and fall out fast if they don't fix their issues. There are a few other teams out there that look porous as well, but the Giants highlight what I would say is maybe an overreaction, because they still have talent. Daniel Jones can play. Saquon Barkley, once he gets healthy and his legs under him, obviously is a player. But boy, that team looked like a team that mentally they're going to be fried pretty soon if they don't get some good stuff going on. And if that happens, the floor is going to fall out from that team.
Well, maybe not an overreaction, but what about a look? What about the optics of Aaron Rodgers, you know, complaining to the manager all summer? And I didn't see Gutekunst out there. I didn't see Mark Murphy out there running the wrong routes, throwing awful picks. You know, he hates on the president and the GM, but Rodgers was terrible yesterday. The Packers' defense was terrible. That was a neutral site game that leaned more Green Bay. What do you make of that response by Aaron Rodgers in particular, considering his offseason?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers gave back a lot of leverage in one game, 1 week. Now, he actually had a worse game last year against the Bucs in that loss in terms of quarterback rating. And he responded the next week with four touchdowns and 132 quarterback rating. So I think he can respond. But here's what it is. Here's a student. And then he hears right when he's going home that they got a quiz tomorrow. And he just starts complaining. Oh, man, well, we got a quiz tomorrow. He doesn't go home and do his work fully. He wants to play Nintendo all night. He wants to ride his bike outside. He's not fully committed to the game of football. And then the next day, he takes the test, and he doesn't do well. And we all look at him like, dude, we know you're smart. We know you're good. You're the former MVP from just last year, multiple-time MVP winner. So if it's not because of your talent, it's because of your commitment. And I tell you one thing about the NFL. They can live a lot longer with someone who's not skilled versus someone who's not trying or fully committed. You better fix this and fix this fast, because no one has time for him to complain this way into leading this team into failure. That's what I love about football. There's no entitlement, and football will tell on you immediately. If you're 97% committed and you're in the jungle with someone who's 100% committed and capable, they're going to expose you every single time. What we saw yesterday was Aaron Rodgers taking his eyes off the prize ever so slightly, and it came back with disastrous results.
Did Pittsburgh win that game, or did Buffalo lose it?
You know what's interesting? Pittsburgh actually won that game, but I'm going to give it to you the way the Patriots taught me this lesson. The way that the Patriots play football is not concerning themselves with winning the game, but making sure they don't lose the game. So what does that typically mean? You have to have a clean game. No turnovers for Pittsburgh. Less penalties for Pittsburgh. You look at Pittsburgh, they were able to go out there and win a game that they were actually giving up more yards to the opponent than they actually gained. But that's a New England Patriot type of game, a clean game. So what they did is just played it close to the vest and hung around until finally they could capture a moment, an opportunity, a block punt, a touchdown pass from Roethlisberger late, and they took advantage of the opportunity. Buffalo should have won that game, but it's one thing to go out there and try and win. It's another thing to make sure you don't lose. And Buffalo has to mature in terms of dealing with success. They heard this entire offseason how beautiful their team looks, how talented Josh Allen is, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to put the work in. What do they say about success? You can only rent it. And you can only rent it every single day. And the rent is due every single day. So Buffalo got to pay the rent and work a little harder and dig a little deeper.
We're chatting with Marcellus Wiley. I said this earlier. I'd be curious to get your take on it. There's so many different storylines coming out of the NFL Week 1, always. Every team's got something. Every player's got something. But for me, in terms of the big picture, and that is chasing and pursuing a Super Bowl, there are two teams that sit atop the mount right now. That would be Kansas City and Tampa. And with everything that happened yesterday and everything that might happen tonight, what sticks out to me is Tampa down to ball in the hand of Brady. He charges down the field. They kick a field goal. They win. Mahomes down 12, storms back in the fourth. They win. That's what sticks out. That's what sticks out to me over the weekend. Everything else is compelling and amazing, and there's a lot of content there. Brady did it again and will continue to. Mahomes did it again and will continue to.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That moxie, that composure, that belief is different. And to give you a contrast, to give you something to juxtapose Brady and Mahomes with, remember when Baker Mayfield was on the sidelines and they muffed the punt and the punter didn't kick it? And Baker Mayfield, they showed him on the sidelines shaking his head in disappointment and disbelief. Then you fast forward in the same quarter, Baker Mayfield throws an interception, a game-deciding interception, a game-losing interception. And he's flailing on the ground doing a centipede like a breakdancer, right? I want you guys just to look at that emotional content versus when Tom Brady or, like you said, Patrick Mahomes is down late in the game. They're composed. Even if they lose, they still believe. It's like Baker Mayfield never read the Bible or something. Ye of little faith. And that's the difference. It's just that little subtlety of, do you believe or do you not believe? Because if without believing, you're not going to start achieving. And I think that's the difference between those greats, those next level quarterbacks and players, Tom Brady, who knows, hey, I'm going to get the ball back. I don't know why Baker Mayfield would have that kind of spaz, that kind of reaction, when he knew he was going to get the ball back. He knew he was still going to have opportunity to win that game. And then when he did have the ball in his hand, and he had opportunity to win that game, he imploded. He made the costly mistake. It's just those subtle little differences between the great and the very good.
Marcella, Chicago, the Bears have such a strong fan base. I mean, they have a big fan base like all the great organizations, the storied franchises. When, like, I just watching some of their game, and I don't think they're going to be very good. When do they just tell Andy Dalton, like just step aside and we're going to let the kid Fields take over here? Like, it's just, what are they going to be waiting for to do that?
Man, I don't know why they waited this long. It's insane. I would literally rebel against my coach. I would have so many issues with Matt Nagy for you not putting him in. And then they put him in the first series in like the third play or something
so
crazy.
Stupid.
You're like, come on, man. Stop teasing us. Like, what is this? Here's the thing. I remember growing up and my grandmother was teaching us how to cook. And the greatest lesson I learned from her wasn't necessarily how to cook every single ingredient and item. I remember her saying, and it was for breakfast, she was like, make sure you cook your eggs last. And I don't know why that stuck out to me, but basically she was saying, it's not just what you do, but how you do it. And what they're doing is silly enough, but how they're doing it is even sillier. Like, you got that talent on the sidelines, and if you watch Justin Fields, let me give you the player perspective. He's not even in full celebration. He's not in full emotion. He keeps his helmet on. He's not saying much. You know why? He knows he will leak the truth, and he will spill the beans and say, I am so disappointed in how this is playing out. So I don't think it's going to be too long because Andy Dalton can't survive behind that bad offensive line. Justin Fields, even if he even played yesterday, Justin Fields might have won that game. It was only a six-point game at half. But without Justin Fields, that team doesn't stand a chance.
Great stuff as always, buddy. We're almost through week one. We'll do it again next Monday. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care, brothers. Next week, let's do.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley. Longtime NFL FS1 host, TSN NFL analyst right here on Overdrive, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. We'll get our Monday night pick. Scott Mitchell coming up from the Dome. The Yankees came back at 1-10. I knew that was going to happen. That was
Dude,
a lock.
You just should have beaten, like, Jordan Miller says there's no curse, but that was a curse.
Yeah, that was a curse. That one felt like it was moving in the right direction, and then it turned 180 pretty quickly.